Tuesday, November 8th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, today is Election Day. I've got a couple of interesting surveys I would like to go over with you today briefly and talk about what these surveys imply in terms of the hollowing out of the morality of our country and the polarization of our country. The Federalist is reporting America's young people are wasting almost all of their waking free time on entertainment instead of personal development. They're wasting that time in front of computer screens, in front of iPads, in front of their telephones. 70 hours per week, young teenagers are glued to the screens.
Now, let's make a point. Those with biological parents and intact families don't have 70 hours a week. It's a little less. 70 hours a week is 10 hours a day. The average for those in families that are biological parents and intact families is 9 hours, so it's 1 hour less. Then it goes up significantly with children that are not living with their biological parents. It talks about suicidal thoughts, depression, darkness, isolation, obesity, and most of all, you see a lack or any desire and a diminishing desire of socialization with all of the psychological, emotional, and I think spiritual ramifications. They said somewhere around 80 to 90% of this time is spent on video games.
Harry, a second survey conducted overseas in Great Britain by Channel 4 indicated that Generation Z is less open-minded and more intolerant than older generations, according to this recent survey. Gen Z were more likely to believe that people should be canceled for their views and held less acceptance of different opinions than older generations.
Unless the opinions are coming from the progressive wing of the culture, which is deconstructing Western civilization. So these ideas of deconstructing, redefining family, gender, sexuality, marriage, etc., those are being embraced by Gen Z. But what's not being embraced is any pushback from historical figures who can be canceled because of the imperfections of their life. So if you can find an imperfection, now you've got a reason to cancel them. And since we know there are no perfect figures in history, then what you now have is an instrument whereby you keep the voices of the past from identifying the errors of the present. And by the way, the errors of the present are not novel. There's nothing new under the sun. And that's one of the reasons that you can learn from the past, not to live in the past, but to address the present so that the future has a full-orbed examination of what should be embraced. So they have now pushed out the lessons of the past by embracing marginalization and the cancel culture of anyone that doesn't fit the revolutionary ideas of the current cultural revolution.
Harry, both of these surveys point to two things. One, the lack of morality, and two, polarization. What do you mean? Young people spending so much time in front of the computer screen, yes, they are separated from the rest of the world. Harry, we haven't even gotten to the polarization of politics.
This is Election Day. There will likely be a movement of conservatism that is being embraced in light of the economic and foreign policy issues and failures of the current administration. In other words, it looks like there's going to be a significant pushback. Some are even calling it a red wave. But I would suggest as you look at the election results, I want you to remember there are a number of states who have initiatives that are up for vote that deal with legislation based upon the morality of family, sexuality, and life, that is the abortion issue. Now watch how those fare, and I think what you're going to see is a sharp polarization. I think, Tom, your analysis of about a 60-40 polarization of conservative and progressive liberalism is probably rather accurate, but the progressive side of it has full control of the present culture shapers, big government, big education, big business, the media and journalism, and Hollywood and the popular arts. I think that's what you're seeing. Thus, you're seeing the sharpening of this polarization in our society, which is just as bad, I believe, as it was in the 19th century, resulting in the conflict of the quote-unquote Civil War.
Harry, as you look at the situation with the polarization, you just mentioned the last time it was this bad. We had a war where hundreds of thousands of lives were lost. What hope do we have that this polarization can be overcome without going that route?
I think the only answer to that is what gave birth to this experiment of ordered freedom that we call the United States of America, where the Constitution is king and the electoral process is used for the three branches of government. What was that? It was the Great Awakening. I think we're in desperate need of a Great Awakening, Tom. That's where my hope is. In other words, my hope is not in a red wave, but I'm not speaking without any sensitivity to elections whereby we get competent and trustworthy leaders. I'm all for that. But what I believe needs to happen in the electorate is even a bigger issue. We need a gospel wave. We need a gospel awakening wave. In fact, we need a tsunami wave of the gospel. But I don't believe you get a great awakening without revival. And I don't believe you get a revival of the church, which is what God uses to bring a great awakening. We need a revival in the church. And just as progressive secularism is attacking the culture and causing this moral hollowness and this polarization with its tactics, you also see quote-unquote progressive Christianity that is hollowing out the evangelical church. And thus, the very instrument that would be used to break the Great Awakening is now in need of a sweeping revival, and that would be preceded by a reformation. This nation comes through the impact upon the Enlightenment by the Reformation that was followed by the Great Awakening in the 18th century. The Reformation of the 16th century, the Great Awakening of the 18th century, and one of the products and consequences is what we call the American Experiment, in which that Great Awakening from 1735 to 1765 laid the groundwork impacting what kind of leaders we have and what kind of a nation we had, what kind of discourse we have, and what kind of ethical absolutes were going to be embraced from God's common grace. How did that happen? Was through the movement of redeeming grace in the Great Awakening. How did that happen? Because of the revival that had swept the church. How did that happen? Because of the reformation upon doctrine and leadership that took place in the 16th century. We need a new reformation. We need a new reformation. Tom, there are three marks that you look for when you get a reformation revival that would lead to a great awakening. Number one is bold, faithful, gracious, yet courageous preaching of God's word. You can't call upon the name of the Lord until you hear the Lord through the preaching of his word. We need to pray for God to raise up a resurgence of gospel ministers and pastors and preachers who preach the word of God. Secondly, great revivals have produced leaders in the church, from the church, into the world. The church becomes a leadership factory. Leadership works, and when we send leaders into society that love Christ, think biblically, are salt and light, then the institutions are reclaimed and revitalized in a nation. Thirdly and finally, I'm going to get in trouble on this one, Tom. We need men of God. We need men of God who become standard bearers and thermostat leaders in our nation, not thermometer leaders. That's a politician. These are thermostat leaders. That's statesmen. And I believe we need men. I'm just going to say it right up front. We need female leadership that brings the distinctives and dynamics of female leadership. But we need men of God in the family and in the church.
Harry Reader's book, 3D Leadership, is devoted to equipping the church and believers to multiply and mobilize leaders in all walks of life. A great resource for personal development, group Bible study, or for church officer and leadership training. 3D Leadership, defining, developing, and deploying Christian leaders who can change the world. To order your copy, go to briarwood.org/3D. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday. as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.